It's a five-stripe Friday.
You betcha.
Here on the morning show, it's time to bring in Kevin Egan. He is the TV play-by-play man for Atlanta United on Fox Sports South, Fox Sports Southeast. You can also watch him on The Extra on BN Sports every weeknight, Monday to Friday at 7 p.m. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Sam, how are you, bud?
Oh, doing fantastic. And, you know, you'll be heading to L.A. pretty soon, I would presume, correct?
Yeah, I'm doing The Extra live today from 7 to 7.30 Eastern time and then jumping on a flight. Bit of a tight squeeze, if I'm honest. I'm off air at 7:30, and I think the flight is at 8:50.
Uh-oh.
So I'll have a teammate from The Extra waiting outside the studio, and I'll literally be in the car 30 seconds after I get off air. I'll take the makeup off in the car on the way to the airport, and I'll have the bags ready to go. So it's all part of the fun. Absolutely love it, though.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and especially because you get to call Atlanta United games a team that is not only one of the hottest in MLS, one of the best supported teams in MLS, but a team that, you know, plays a nice attacking style of soccer, so it's actually fun to call these games.
It's so much fun. And Sam, look, I know I'm on the radio and there's a lot of people listening, but I come from calling Chicago Fire games when the team was at the bottom, and it's a difficult job. And this is it's still a tricky job in a lot of ways, but it's so much fun, and especially when you get to work alongside someone like Dan Gargan in the booth. Jillian's doing great down the sideline, but Dan is just so much fun up there, and he's so knowledgeable. And I'm looking forward to this weekend because he won a championship with LA Galaxy in 2014. He's got a lot of contacts at the club. He's really, really well-liked there. But he's looking for a five-stripes win like anyone else, and we're looking to win there and hopefully tear stripes off them and get the 3 points.
No doubt about that. We'll dive into the LA Galaxy game coming up in a little bit, but I wanted to go back to last week. Atlanta United draws 2-2. With NYCFC, and I want to go ahead and get you to help me out with something here, because among some of the Atlanta United fans and the Atlanta United fan base, there's this narrative going on right now that Joseph Martinez is lazy, and it's so funny for me from week to week how things can change, because this is a guy who scored 4 hat tricks in 26 games, and then now people are, at least some people are starting to kind of turn on him a little bit just because he has one off game. And let's keep in mind that his hand was also hurt, so there were a few times when he hit the ground where he gets up and he looks like he's hurt. You know, he doesn't look like he's 100%. So I just think that a lot of people are confusing maybe laziness with that striker's mentality, because I joked the other day that Filippo Inzaghi spent about 90% of his career offside, and yet he's still one of the greatest Italian strikers ever. So kind of, what are your thoughts on that sort of narrative that Joseph Martinez is lazy? And I say that in air quotes.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think if you're going to call the leading goal scorer in Major League Soccer lazy, you need to take a look at the games again, because if you can't call a guy who's leading. If he hadn't scored this season, and if you felt it was just a lack of effort, fair enough. But that's looking for problems when there really isn't a problem, in my opinion, because Joseph puts himself in the right positions to succeed. I think you're absolutely right to pick out someone like Inzaghi. I think you look at the Manchester United team under Sir Alex Ferguson of York and Cole up front. I remember watching those guys thinking, even in a 4-4-2, defensively, they don't give you all that much. But Sir Alex Ferguson didn't want them to run the legs off themselves, trying to press, trying to win the ball back higher up the field. Sometimes that gets crowds going, but it's not only about that. And I think about other guys like Mauro Icardi, for example, has the best goal-per-touch ratio in Europe's top 5 leagues right now for Inter Milan. He's a goal every 26 touches of the ball. He's never involved in the run of play, but that's his game. That's his MO. And, you know, are LA Galaxy fans going to start calling Zlatan lazy? I was watching him against Chicago last week, and in all truth, he wasn't really involved in the game yet. He sees the ball is going to Ashley Cole, then you see a sprint from him, and it's telepathic between those two, and he gets on the end of a cross and scores. I don't think he's lazy at all. I think he's dropping a little bit deeper, and I think that has been the big shift, and that's been the big one for the optics test for fans maybe watching, thinking, why is Joseph Martinez dropping deeper? Instead, last year we saw him off the shoulder of the last defender, maybe pressing a little bit more, and that might come with a system change too, don't forget, because Miguel Almirón, And this is where, when you crunch the numbers, it all makes a little bit more sense. Miguel Almirón, I guarantee you, if you pulled up the first, 6 games of the season last year, Miguel Almirón, because I remember doing the Houston game on May 20th, and he was not getting close enough to goal at all. Yet, Miguel Almirón has 33 shots so far this season, by far and away the most in Major League Soccer. So he's putting himself a lot closer to goal. And in Joseph's case, oftentimes he's being that sacrificial lamb. He's dropping a little bit deeper, and he's making sure that Garza and Gressel can get wider and get further forward. And it's part of Tata's plan, too. But the guy is a leading goal scorer, Sam.
I'm right there with you, man. I just wanted to get, you who cover the games, each one, I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because I hear that and I'm just like, you people are nuts, and it's, Ruud van Nistelrooy was another guy I wanted to bring up there when you were talking about the Manchester United teams under Alex Ferguson. It's like, you're not required to be a guy that, you're not required to be a Parkhurst or an Almirón or these guys that run around the entire field, It's just so bizarre, but keeping in the theme of the NYCFC game, Atlanta United goal scorers Greg Garza and Chris McCann, and I wanted to talk about the goals, a two-part question here. The first one is on Greg Garza's goal. It seems like that guy is in the right spot at the right time almost every time. He's scored multiple goals like this playing for Atlanta United. And then for Chris McCann, this is nothing to take away from Chris McCann because he still has to finish the shot, but on that goal, I've told people that the cross from Miguel Almirón was so perfect, so well weighted, that I think Peter Dinklage might have scored that goal.
Yeah, I don't know about that, to be honest. It's one of those that I think McCann made it look an awful lot easier. You still have to put an awful lot of power behind that ball. It's a lofted cross. It's not a drilled-in cross from Almirón that he literally just needs to get the slightest flick. He's got to put a lot of power behind that. And the goalkeeper had no chance in the end. So I felt it was a wonderful finish. I actually put it on Instagram at the time. My Instagram story, what a finish from Chris McCann, because the keeper wasn't given an opportunity. And also, in that goal, if you take it back, the positioning of Michael Parkhurst is incredible. It's such a small thing in the game. But if Parkhurst isn't in that spot to recycle the play and get the attack moving again, all of a sudden, you've got like a 3-on-1. In favor of NYCFC. Atlanta United puts itself in a dangerous position there. If they win the ball back, so many attacking players for the five strikes that they could be in trouble. But Parkhurst wins it back, recycles, Almirón gets it wide. He's like Michael Schumacher. I mean, the guy is so quick on the ball. And then he puts in the most beautiful cross for McCann and scores. For the first goal, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely spot on to point that out about Garza. We saw him score in Vancouver last season in a very similar spot, attacking that back post at speed, and it was a Julian Gressel cross back in Vancouver. This time, it's a Miguel Almirón shot, and as he shoots, it's crazy to see it. The three players inside the area as he shoots, Julian Gressel, Joseph Martinez, and Greg Garza. So it requires an awful lot of work from Gressel and Garza, and both those guys have been able to do it so far. For me, when the games start getting closer in terms of time, what you're going to need is other players that can play that role too, because I don't think it's humanly possible for those guys to do the amount of running they're doing if you've got, a Saturday, a Wednesday, a Saturday game. I think it's really tough to do it effectively. So Escobar is going to have to step in if they're going to continue with that system, maybe one or two other guys, and contribute, because Garza and Gressel have been phenomenal so far in that role.
Talking with Kevin Egan, he is the TV play-by-play man for Atlanta United games on Fox Sports South and Fox Sports Southeast. Also the host of The Extra on BN Sports, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. Kevin, I wanted to ask you also about Ezequiel Barco, because he made his debut for Atlanta United against NYCFC. And it was interesting because the player he came on for, Kevin Kratz, was one that I thought was playing very well. In fact, we talked about Joseph. He's having a great season. He's one of Atlanta United's best players. But just in the NYCFC game, whether it was the injury, whether it was maybe some frustration at too many long balls over the top for him to chase down, it just seemed like he was disconnected. So maybe bringing in Barco for him might have made a little more sense, because I thought Kratz was really, really good. But Barco, in his debut, looked okay, but at the same time, I think it's going to take a little while to integrate him into this squad and into this system.
Yeah, and I think there was a case of, right, I think Atlanta United was 2-1 up at the time when he came in. So if anything, that speaks to me of a manager that's incredibly comfortable within his own skin at that point to say, right, we're going to put on a player who's not, let's remove his history for a second if we can, and remove his price tag. We're going to bring in a player who's 19 years of age that's just been injured for his debut, 2-1 up. He's an attacking player, not known for his defensive qualities. that speaks to Tata Martino and how confident he is in this player. So he comes into the game. There's no question that I think we all saw he was nervous, and there was a little bit of trepidation about the way he played. You know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Paul Pogba when he first went to Manchester United, mm-hmm. and how he felt. He kind of felt like he had to do something every time he was on the ball,
right.
instead of maybe just completing the pass and getting the ball wide, or making sure that, like I said, the pass was complete. And but that's Barco, though. If you look back at Ezequiel Barco at his time in Argentina, it's who he is. So I think, you know, this sort of game in Los Angeles will be fascinating to see if he starts. You're going to have a game that's going to be like a hockey game, because they're going to be setting the agenda. They're off the back of a win in Chicago. They're looking more exciting this year. They've got some massive names in their team. And they're going to be going at Atlanta United wave after wave of attack. So Atlanta United's going to have to counter in this game and try and put them under pressure as well, because I don't fancy their back four at all defensively. But I certainly fancy them going forward. I think they've got some really, really good, talented players. So it's going to be fascinating. But Barco on the counterattack, along with Almiron, along with Martinez, that's going to be brilliant to watch.
Speaking of Barco, Kevin, I know he came in, what, about the 65th minute last year? I'm sorry, last week. Are we expecting more time from him, or possibly even getting the start on the pitch this week?
Well, the word is from the camp is that he's fully fit. Tata Martino said, no, he's ready to go. So whether he feels, yeah, he's good to go from the start, I have no idea, in all truth. I'll find out an awful lot more when we're kind of with the team and just chatting to them. But if we're to believe what Tata's saying and talking to some people at the club, he's fully fit. He's ready to go. Now, by fully fit, like you said, he only came in. He hasn't played 90 minutes, so he's not ready. He's not match fit as of yet. But maybe he's better off the bench in a situation like this, away from home. There's not the pressure of the home crowd. You bring him in at halftime even. I don't know. We'll see how the game plays out. And if he comes in, no question that he'd be great on the counter. But if he comes in and Atlanta United is trailing, he's also really good when there's a low block in those tight spaces. And that's what you and I on this show have talked about before. That's why him and Nagby in particular were brought in, because they're specialists at that.
Before we jump fully into the LA Galaxy game, I wanted to get your thoughts. I know Almiron won Player of the Week last week against NYCFC, but I thought Darlington Nagby had a heck of a game, probably his best game in an Atlanta United shirt. He did score the goal that got called back for Joseph Martinez being offside. But I think as he gets more and more comfortable in Atlanta United's system, it's taken him a while to adjust. But him playing with guys like Almiron, Tito Villalba, Joseph Martinez, I keep trying to tell people, look out for Darlington Nagby to have an incredible season. And I think it started against NYCFC.
Most definitely. I think you're absolutely right. There's still, if I'm being really picky, there's still certain parts of his game that I think he needs to work on to be a real elite player. I think in transition, he's excellent. Going forward, when he can get more shots off, please, by all means, like, get him more forward, get more shots off. But in this system, especially with three at the back, with the wing-backs going so high up the field, he needs to be the one at times to sometimes press in midfield and try and win the ball back quicker so that an opportunity for a counter-attack can't happen. And this isn't a good example of that, but there was one scenario I thought maybe he could have been stronger, and that is their equalizing goal. If you look back at David Villa, the way he seems to keep the ball on the outside of the area, everyone wants to talk about how good that was from Villa, and that's fine, it was excellent, but Nagby's the one next to him the whole time, and he's shadowing. Nagby can't let him get that pass off to Ring, because it's in such a dangerous area. Atlanta United have all the numbers back. And I just feel like if he's biting at the heels a bit more, or if he's putting him under a bit more pressure without fouling him, because he's in a dangerous area on the edge of the box, I just think Nagby has to be a little bit cuter in those areas and try and win the ball back. And then it doesn't lead to the shot. That's an unstoppable shot that Guzan just can't get to. So it's those small things, maybe with maybe a little bit of aggression or timing with Nagby, just to help out on the defensive end.
Now, transitioning to the game this weekend in L.A., you look at this team, obviously Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the big name, the big story so far on the MLS season. But you mentioned it earlier. You know, this is a team that is very much an attacking team. But right in the middle of the midfield, kind of the center of the park, if you will, and then the back line, they're not super strong. So this, to me, feels like a game where Atlanta United, like you mentioned, on the counter and maybe bossing in the middle of the field with Miguel Almirón and Darlington Nagbe controlling possession. This feels like a game to me that, you know, I know that, that Zlatan's there and they're going to be confident because of that, but it, this feels like a game to me that Atlanta United should win.
Yeah, I think, so if we were to ask a neutral that question, would they say the same thing? Someone that follows the league, would they say that Atlanta United should win in LA? I think, I don't think they would, being honest. I think they'd say, if Atlanta United can come away from Carson, California with a draw in a game like this, with the momentum that they have, this is a team that is starting to build. I know they lost to Sporting Kansas City not long ago, and they went to Chicago and won. The game against Chicago, they were poor, but we can't read too much into that because I know what it's like there on a windy day, and that was incredibly windy in Bridgeview, Illinois, and it was cold and windy. It was miserable by the looks of it. And they got through, they got the job done. But at home, they're a different beast altogether, and they've got so much speed, even on the wing, when they bring in even an Emma Boateng off the bench, he can be very impressive. But for me, it's out wide that we have to be really, really, really strong. Zlatan, there's no one better in the league in the air. No one. Then you put Ashley Cole on the wing. You have Leggett, Alisson Drini. I'm not the biggest fan of Felcher moving forward the right back, but they have extreme talent in those wide areas. And they'll circulate the ball. Atlanta United likes to pack out the midfield. And that's my one concern is crosses. How is the team going to block crosses and get wide and help out? How is, if Chris McCann is the left-sided centre-back, how can he get across to help out a Greg Garza if need be, or can Darlington Nagbe be that guy to get from flank to flank like Carmona? Carmona was so good at that, making sure that he was helping the fullbacks and sprinting from side to side. So in those wide areas, I can see that being really key. Centrally, I don't really worry, even though they've got talent like a Perry Kitchen or a Jonathan Dos Santos. I don't worry about us centrally at all. It's more the wide areas in this particular game with this matchup against their system that I think that's where Atlanta United needs to be really strong. And let's be honest, Atlanta United is not the biggest defensively. So someone like Zlatan, who's 6'5", can be a massive threat, as we've seen already in the game in Chicago and in the game against LAFC. So those are areas that I think are a concern, certainly that the team knows about going in. But then going forward, I fancy Atlanta United's chances against that defense. I'm just not the biggest fans of their defense as a whole. So it's going to be fascinating. I predict a high scoring game here, Sam, and a bit of a Saturday night thriller in Atlanta. Because everyone watching the game, it's going to be quite late. So have a cheeky beer, sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Kevin. I wanted to get your thoughts on a big soccer story internationally that just broke this morning. I know that there are quite a few Arsenal fans in our listening audience. So Arsene Wenger finally out as Arsenal manager at the end of the season. It seems like this has been a roller coaster for about 10 years now of whether he was going to stick around or not. I know that Patrick Vieira apparently is a name that is being reported by you guys over at BN Sport that that Arsene Wenger is tipping to take over for him afterwards. But kind of just give us some general thoughts on Arsene Wenger finally leaving Arsenal, one of the biggest clubs in the world.
I think in time his legacy will be absolutely phenomenal. 22 years, 10 trophies, three Premier Leagues included in that, one of the greatest Premier League sides we've ever seen. You know, and he's been a very likable guy, I think, throughout the whole thing. And he's had a successful club, a club that's been making money year in, year out, a club that's been bringing through younger players, a club that's been able to get by and compete and pretty much throughout his whole time there, apart from last year and this year, be in the top four while not spending the money that we've seen Chelsea spend, or we've seen, we've seen even Manchester United spend, Man City spend. So in time, I think his legacy will be phenomenal. I think the grass is always greener, and a lot of Arsenal fans just want to look at the recent history, the last couple of years, and maybe that's right to do that, because a lot of pundits out there, like Alan Shearer recently, said that they're simply not listening to Arsene Wenger anymore. It seems like the players are not taking on his advice. So it's time for a change. I hope they erect a big statue outside the Emirates because he deserves it, and I hope he's given the farewell that he absolutely deserves, because I'm not sure we'll ever see this again, Sam, to see a coach over two decades at one team in the Premier League, it's remarkable. What do you think?
Well, the guy coached a team that went undefeated throughout an entire Premier League season. That will never happen again.
Yeah, no, it was remarkable. And that was one of the most enjoyable teams to watch. Don't forget, he took over an Arsenal team that had the chant, boring Arsenal, and under George Graham. And he was instantly a success, bringing through a young Thierry Henry, who was a winger over in France, and with Juventus as well. And he played him as an out-and-out striker, Bergkamp off him. That was a team that was just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Robert Pires, Petit, and Patrick Vieira. And by the way, I think Patrick Vieira should be maybe their number one choice. If they're looking at what he's managed to do in a few years at New York City FC, and the legend that he is at the club, he's still a young manager, his pedigree, the respect that he would have. And aside from all that, he, in many ways, is the player that they've missed the most since Arsene Wenger has seen the second phase, I suppose, of his Arsenal tenure. They haven't had that bite in midfield. They haven't had a leader. You look at the Arsenal team, who's their leader right now? Petr Cech, potentially? I mean, after that, I'm not sure who their guy is in the lot. Mustafi looks a shadow of the player he was at Valencia alongside Otamendi. You know, it's a shame the way it's gone for Arsene Wenger. It's just one of those things in life. Sometimes you need to know when it's a good time to walk away. Sir Alex Ferguson nailed it. He walked away, and not only did he walk away, he handed the keys to David Moyes. And there must have been a part of him thinking, yeah, my legacy's going to be intact, handing them off to David Moyes, because that was a failure. No, he may have played into it, Sam. Who knows?
Oh, I think he definitely did. Legacy. He didn't want somebody following him up, winning a bunch of trophies, being like, oh, well, it's just Manchester United. He wanted to hand it off to somebody that he knew could not be as successful as he was.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the Premier League's an interesting one. I don't think anyone's defended the title since, 2009,
right,
when Manchester United won three on the bounce. Mm-hmm. So you've had a crazy sequence of Chelsea, of Man City now have won three in the last 7 years, Leicester, the miracle on grass, Chelsea last season again. It's been remarkable every year how it's changed. Arsenal needs to get back in the mix, and they're not getting closer under Arsene Wenger. So it's time for a change. I just hope that all those, you know, faceless eggs that are angry on Twitter just find the time to just give him a little bit of praise and respect what he's done, because he's been wonderful.
Kevin, I could do this all day, but we got to run. One quick last question for you. The next Atlanta United home game is Saturday, April 28th. I know that you and Dan Gargan and some folks have orchestrated some pickup games over at the Subway Field over at Five Points. Y'all planning on doing something like that again?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We just need your support. We need you guys to get out and play with us, because the first time we did it, we got a few people playing, but it wasn't a big number at all. So we're asking all the Five Stripes Facebook to get out, and hopefully we don't have to do it so early next time. I know it was an 8 a.m. start the last time, so it was a little bit early, and it was a little bit cold. So this weekend, we're in Los Angeles. Hey, you're stuck with us for the next four games, by the way, on Fox Sports South and Fox Sports Southeast, and we are buzzing for it. So we've got this game, we've got Montreal at home, Chicago, and Sporting Kansas City, these next four games. So we're really looking forward to it, and yeah, we hope you'll get involved. We're looking forward to that, the day of the game against Montreal. You know what I'm thinking now, Sam? That's actually an early game. That's a really early game. So we may have to even do something on the Friday. We'll try and figure something out, and we'll be in touch.
All right, well, you let me know, and we will pass along all that information as soon as y'all have it concrete. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Sam, you're a gent. Thanks so much.
All right, that was Kevin Egan. He is the TV play-by-play man for Atlanta United on Fox Sports South and Fox Sports Southeast. You can also catch him on The Extra on BN Sport Monday through Friday at 7 p.m.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.